Good morning again, everyone.
Good morning.
Waiting for that sound in the background. Glad everybody's here today. We're going to continue in Acts today. We're going to cover a big chunk here as Paul is going to speak this morning to this crowd. We've been looking at Acts 21, starting in 37. We're going to go all the way through 22, verse 21. So, big section today. We're going to cover in Paul's life here. I got a friend that told me this story happened to him a long time ago. He was telling me a long time ago. When I think about these kinds of stories, it makes me realize how much older I'm getting. I think I'm older than my mind thinks I am. That's probably all of us. We're all children at heart. This guy was headed home one day, and he gets pulled over for speeding. And he knows he's speeding. He's going like 15 over. There's no doubt he's speeding. He gets pulled over. Cop walks up to his window, rolls it down, like, "Hey, how are you? I just want to let you know I've been waiting on you all day." That's what the cop says. Without hesitation, my buddy turns to him and says, "Well, I got here as quick as I could." Now, we probably all wanted to say things like that in those moments. I'm sure none of you have had those moments. Nobody speeds. But that cop laughed, said he hadn't heard that one before, said, "Have a good day." Got back in his car. Now, that's a story. Ours would have probably played out a little different. We said something like that, we'd have a ticket. Maybe we wouldn't have a license. All these things run through our head. But we have these stories in our own lives. All of us have these stories we know. We know of friends' stories, family stories. Some of them true. Some of them are said to be true, but you know are false. But we all have these stories. Paul has a story. He has many stories in his life. We're going to look at Paul's story of his life today because he's going to lay it out to this crowd this morning. When he went from old to new self, when his life turned a corner, when his heart was changed forever, that's what he's going to lay out to his Jewish friends here this morning. His life lived for himself, and then his life lived for Jesus. That's his testimony today, and we're going to look at it in two parts. Paul's path for himself, and God's path for Paul. Let's get ready to dive into Acts together. Acts 21, we're going to start in verse 37. Let's stand as we read God's word. As Paul was about to be brought into the barracks, he said to the tribune, "May I say something to you?" And he said, "Do you know Greek? Are you not the Egyptian then who recently stirred up a revolt and led the 4,000 men of the assassins out into the wilderness?" And Paul replied, "I am a Jew from Tarsus in Cilicia, a citizen of no obscure city. I beg you, permit me to speak to the people." And when he had been given permission, Paul, standing on the steps, motioned with his hand to the people. And when there was a great hush, he addressed them in the Hebrew language, saying, "Brothers and fathers, hear the defense that I now make before you." And when they heard that he was addressing him in the Hebrew language, they became even more quiet. And he said, "I am a Jew, born in Tarsus in Cilicia, but brought up in this city, educated at the feet of Gamaliel, according to the strict manner of the law of our fathers, being zealous for God, as all of you are this day. I persecuted this way to death, binding and delivering to prison both men and women, as the high priest and the whole council of elders can bear witness. From them I received letters to the brothers, and I journeyed toward Damascus to take those also who were there and bring them in bonds to Jerusalem to be punished. And as I was on my way and drew near to Damascus, about noon a great light from heaven suddenly shone around me. And I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And I answered, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said to me, 'I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. Now those who were with me saw the light, but did not understand the voice of the one who was speaking to me. And I said, what should I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, rise and go into Damascus, and there you will be told all that is appointed for you to do. And since I could not see because of the brightness of that light, I was led by the hand by those who were with me and came into Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, well spoken of by all Jews who lived there, came to me and standing by me said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that very hour I received my sight and saw him. And he said, the God of our fathers appointed you to know his will, to see the righteous one and to hear a voice from his mouth. For you will be a witness for him to everyone of what you have seen and heard. And now why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. When I returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple, I fell into a trance and saw him saying to me, make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly, because they will not accept your testimony about me. And I said, Lord, they themselves know that in one synagogue after another I imprisoned and beat those who believed in you. And when the blood of Stephen, your witness, was being shed, I myself was standing by and approving and watching over the garments of those who killed him. And he said to me, go, I will send you far away to the Gentiles. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this time together this morning, and we thank you for your holy word. Father, help us lean into the Spirit within us and lean into these pages today. Help us to see and hear and feel the words you have for us this morning and apply them to our lives today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thought I was going to have to get a sub up here for that reading. That was long. You ready to go word by word there? Paul's path through this life has led him to many places. That's what we've been looking at. It's down many roads. Last week we saw it led to another beating and another arrest and another riot just because of his faith. We also know this was not always Paul's path. We've looked at this before, how Paul moved from a persecuting Pharisee to a persecuted Christian will be on display in our text this morning as he tries to persuade the Jews. We will then cover their response to this speech next week. That's where we're going next week. As we trace out Paul's path together, we should also be thinking of our own. What is our story as we read Paul's story today? Let's dive in. Paul's path for himself. So, not much has changed between last week's text and this week's text. Sometimes there's a few days, a few weeks, maybe a year. We don't really know. We've got to try to figure it out. But this week, we're in the same instance. The only thing changed between last week and this week is the Romans have came in and carried him away from the people seeking to do him harm. The chaos and the fear and the hate are all still present in our text today as it was last week. We're in the same moment. I want us to first realize what Paul does here. He does what he says he always does. He becomes all things to all people so that some may be saved. Now, this isn't a joining in the sinning, right? I've heard this before. I go drinking and get drunk at a bar because my buddy was getting drunk at a bar and he needed to hear Jesus. Well, that's not quite what we're talking about here. That's not what we're going to see here. Let's look at our text. The Romans pack him away, thinking they have someone they've been looking for. That's what's going on here. We see it mentioned here with Egyptian and 4,000 men. There was an Egyptian stirring up revolts. Eusebius, the Christian historian, writes about this when he writes about Christian history. This man took thousands of men with him into the desert. They were training up as assassins to come in and do harm to Rome. This is who Rome thinks they have. They hear of another riot, another uprising. They swoop in. They save Paul, but they actually think they have this Egyptian men leading people against them. Paul has them questioning this, not by facts or arguments here, but merely with his language. When he spoke to the Romans, he did so in Greek. They say, wait a second, are you not an Egyptian? This is a subtle way to let the Romans know that he was not an enemy of theirs. He says, I am a Jew from Tarsus, a citizen. This mention of Tarsus links him to a major city in this area, and the citizenship he speaks of is Roman. We're going to get there next week. This is who I am. I am no threat. May I speak? He then does the same thing here to the Jews, speaking in Hebrew or possibly Aramaic. It says Hebrew language, and Aramaic is a Hebrew language, just a different dialect. So Hebrew, it's a Jewish language he's speaking to them in. And he does so, and he says, I'm a Jew. This is where we're going to dive into the details this morning, but know that when Paul says, be all things to all people, this is what he means. Find your common ground, your entryway, so to speak, so that you can get to Jesus. Language, heritage, family, career, hobbies, whatever it is for you to connect you to that person, you're connecting to Jesus. That's what Paul's doing here. Let's see how Paul did it. Well, to the Romans, a Jew from Tarsus. Tarsus ringing their bell. And to the Jews, the very same thing, except pointing out, I might have been born in Tarsus, but I was raised in Jerusalem. It's also much more than just the name dropping of Jerusalem here. He says, I have the same background as you. My teacher was Gamaliel. We've looked at this before in our study. This was their head teacher, meaning your teachers were my teachers. The laws of our fathers and zealous for God, meaning I have the same beliefs as you, same God as you. He then tells them of his prior life. Now, why did Paul have to tell them of his prior life? We lose this sometimes because we have the Bible. We know Saul turned Paul. Why did he have to remind them here? Well, it's been almost 25 years since the death and resurrection of Jesus. It's been 25 years since Paul was on that road to Damascus. That's the why. Most of the people in this area have only ever known Saul as Paul. He reminds them of Saul. He says, I was persecuting Christians before you. I was arresting Christians before you. I was killing Christians before you. Ask your leaders and they will tell you the same. He's saying, I know who you are. I know the story. I know the why. I was you. Actually, if we look at the text here, there were a whole lot of I statements in the first section here from Paul. All about himself. What does Scripture say about this, and what can we learn from this going forward? Well, Scripture says we're all sinners. Scripture says we've all fallen short. Scripture says we will all choose self. Apart from Jesus and His Spirit within, many of our own statements, and these will be these I statements, and these I statements will pull us from Scripture. It's our default. And Scripture does not pull any punches as to what this means. Romans 2:8. But those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. Scripture's clear. The path of our own making through this life will never end well. This doesn't mean you can't make decisions for you. A career you want, a family you want, a life you want to live, you can have all those things and also know the Creator of everything and have faith in the Son of God offering forgiveness and have Scripture shape this life you live. It can be both. Paul's goal here is for his Jewish brothers to see that he has stood where they stand. He was once Saul. His goal for us is to also see we have all once been Saul. Had passion, had direction, even meant it for good, but every one of us before meeting the Son of God rebelled against God and went our own way. Can we see this in our own lives? Can we see that we were once Saul? We must be able to see it for a couple of reasons. The first is to make sure of your calling and election. We say this all the time, make sure. to make sure your salvation is real? Can you see where you were one way and then another? Can you see where you were born again? The younger you were when coming to faith in Christ, the harder it will be to see. But it'll still be there. A slow progression toward the things of God. Can you see it in your life? The second reason as to why it's important to see your past as Saul is because someone in your life needs your witness. Someone you know is traveling the roads you traveled, and they need to see how you went from Saul to Paul. How Jesus changed you. How the Bible became important to you. If we do not use our testimony like this to reach others on a similar path, if we're not reaching out, sharing our life, if we're not doing this, then here's the image we're giving to the world. If we claim Jesus with no proof from our own lives, no witness, no testimony, it's like we're that infomercial salesperson. You guys know these guys? I think infomercials are still on. Mostly people get to skip them because they're watching online TV today, but I remember infomercials. I think they had Saturday morning cartoons, but it was also like infomercial day. We're the one on TV screaming to buy my product. It's the greatest thing ever. It cures all ailments. It cleans everything. It's always sharp. Best invention ever. We know these commercials. I think the one in my day was the vacuum cleaner picking up the bowling ball. Look, everybody needs a vacuum cleaner to pick up a bowling ball. And I remember looking around my house, man, we got bowling balls laying everywhere. We got to get this thing, right? We're that person. And then we're asked if we use the product. And we said, no, not really. We haven't used it. When asked for proof if it works, we say, well, we don't have really any proof that it works. When asked to defend the greatest product of all time, we offer no defense. Where's that sales guy? If we have no witness, no testimony in our life. That's every Christian who claims Jesus yet offers no personal testimony, no reason for their own belief. Now, hearing the Word of God transforms people, and it's not your own efforts. It's always faith alone and Christ alone. But if no testimony from you, then it will not be listened to. Paul was an example here. Once where you stand, I know the better way. Let me tell you about Jesus and what he has done for me. Now you're witnessing. Now you have their attention. Is this what we do? Will we commit to this? Reaching out like this for the kingdom of God in such a way that relationships are formed and testimonies are heard. Will we step out like this today? Paul has been beaten and arrested again, and yet he sees an opportunity to stand for Jesus here. It's only by the Spirit of God that he can even stand at this point, and he does on these steps. And what does he do? He speaks. He gives his life. His words are heard. Let's see what he says next. God's path for Paul. So before Paul the Christian, there was Saul the Jewish Pharisee. We all know this. Saul, moved by his passion for God, though blinded by his own self to see clearly. That's where Saul stood. Now Paul shares with this Jewish crowd just exactly what changed. How he goes from serving his own way to God's way. He tells them all the ways he thought he was serving God, just like they think they are serving God now. How he did this and he did that and he was traveling to rest more. He, and then Jesus. He was on a path of his own making through this life. His own authority and his own light. In reality, the God he was attempting to serve was a God of his own making, and yet the God of everything still had a purpose for him. God moves in to change Paul. This is his road experience. This is Acts 9 that we've already studied together before. I love here that it tells us it was noon when this bright light shone around him. Shone like the angels shone. Shone like Moses shone after coming down off that mountain. It was noon, which means the sun is as high and as bright as it's ever going to be. But it was still no match for the light of the glory of God. Creation, no match for Creator. That's how it will always be. So bright it leaves Paul blind. Blind so they can see clearly for the very first time. Jesus calls out to Paul, then Saul, 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 why are you persecuting me? So we have visible light and audible sound and blindness to get his attention. Paul immediately falls to the ground, calls him Lord, but what is his name? Who are you, Lord? Part question, part answer. He knows whose people he has been persecuting. He knows who he has rallied against. The longest moment of his life, I believe, as he awaits confirmation of what he already knows. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. He's now led to his destination and met by a disciple and has given back his sight, and he's told the God of his fathers has a job for him. It's time for Paul to truly serve God. Telling us that one of the reasons he's sent away is not because of his life being in danger for switching sides here, though we know it is in danger from both sides at this point, Saul to Paul. But the reason is rather because he's being sent to the Gentiles by God. We've been tracing the ministry of Paul ever since that moment through our study in Acts. Outside of Acts, I wanted you to hear a few other words of Paul describing himself in this encounter here. First, Acts 20:24. We just covered this recently. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. 1 Corinthians 15:9. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. That's who he was. Ephesians 3:8. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Once a persecutor of Christians, a killer of Christians, now delivers the gospel of Jesus to help people become Christian. Who he was and who he is now. He does not see himself as worthy to serve the kingdom, but does serve the kingdom only because of being called by Jesus. That's who he was and who he is now. And the only difference in between is Jesus. Paul stands before a crowd that just beat him and wants him dead. If it wasn't for the Romans, he would be dead. And he wants these things for Paul to kill him because he's teaching Jesus. And before this crowd, his plea to them is for them to see who he once was. And that he completely understands them. And that Jesus is the better way. The way, the truth, and the life, and the no other way to the Father in heaven. Again, we come back to the fact that Jesus is the only way, which means you encounter Jesus yourself to be saved. His death on the cross for your sins actually had a time when it meant nothing to you, and now everything to you. You have your own story and your own road. And your own version of being blind but now can see. This is true of everyone who has ever believed. All have a story of salvation or are not saved. All have a moment in their lives in which the Holy Spirit took over. If this describes you, then you stand in the same place as Paul stood. Look at our world today. Everything good and acceptable except the Son of God. Evil called good, passion misplaced, the whole world blinded by the glory of themselves and needs a better way. The reality is, everyone who claims faith in the Son of God was once a Saul and is now a Paul, has been blinded but now sees, knows the better way. Yeah. That's all of us in here. So what will we do? Stand by or stand up? Press in and share a bit of ourselves or leave the world uncontested and headed for hell? What will we do? Now, what does this stance look like? It's serving. It's gospel sharing. It's leaning into the Word of God and the people of God and prayer. That means being here. It's funny how we always get back to there. We must be together. It's also your testimony. How do we do this? How do we relate who we are and connect others to Jesus? You may say, Pastor, that's hard for me to do because I don't know where to begin, or I don't know what to say, I don't speak very well, I'm nervous, I'm shy. Maybe it's just because you just don't like people and you don't talk to anyone. That might be it. How do we get there? Well, I'm going to attempt to show you this morning by sharing a little about me. Who am I? Well, there's not a time I can remember that I did not know God. Knowledge of God, knowledge of Jesus. There's also not a time that I can remember growing up that I did not go my own way. Who was the teenage version of me? Well, in school, I was the perfect student. Paid attention in class, got good grades. Not that I was smarter than everyone else, but I could take tests well, and I remember what I read. I also knew that I didn't want to do school at home, so I paid attention, and I got it done there. Or on the school bus. Outside of school and out with friends, it was a different story. I was usually the cause of the trouble, even if it was just behind the scenes, the pulling of the strings, so to speak. If there was something going on, I was probably there. I did this in school too, but I was never caught. That's why I was a perfect student. I only ever had one teacher that knew who I really was. I just saw him the other day, a few weeks ago, when I went to visit Ham. Passed him in the hospital. He looked up at me. It took him a little bit because of this. He said, "Hey, Weasel, how's it going?" He gave me the nickname Weasel because he knew if anything happened in his classroom, I was behind it, even if he couldn't prove it. That was true. If I met Jesus as a teenager, with all the things I was doing, then my life would have a clear one way and then another. Black and white. That's not my story. Looking back now, I could see the hand of God in it. He was see him blinding me at times and changing my direction, keeping me from sliding into more trouble. He used baseball to change my focus. Not much else you could do when you're doing a high school sport. He used a young lady in a freshman study hall to change my focus, change my path. Married 17 years next month. Thank you, ma'am. He used our search for a church together, newly married, to change my path. A young couple's class. Thank you, Bruce and Cindy. A men's Bible study to change my path. You see, my path was always about me until I met Jesus. I said earlier that I've always had knowledge, but I've yet to have the relationship, though this was not seen from the outside looking in. What changed? Well, our men's group was studying James. Well, we were goofing off and talking sports, but also studying James. And my personality, I've read the Bible cover to cover a few times at this point, but I never actually studied it. My personality, my competitiveness, whatever you want to call it, wouldn't let me enter that room without knowing something about what we were studying. So into James I went. I began having late nights at our house on Anthos and Frog Island Road. Can ask my wife. I never slept anyway, so why not be reading? James became my friend. I studied it alone. I studied it at this men's group at eventual men's retreats. Eventually during our Africa trip, the men's retreat was on James. The Africa trip, we taught James while at seminary, and the first book we walked through here together was James. No coincidence. No coincidence there. It was also my friend because it changed my life forever. James 2, 18, 19. Faith without works is dead. That might be familiar to you. We've talked about it a few times in here. Your faith must produce works. It's not that works saves you, but works reveals who you are, your actions in your life. Verse 18, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Verse 19, you believe that God is one. You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Some verses, some versions say, even the demons believe and fear God. It was in this moment that a verse I'd seen many times landed on me differently, shattered me. There have been no faith-produced works in my life. There have been some selfish image-producing works, a facade. In this moment, I realized that my entire life had been, at best, equal to the demons. What do I mean? They believe in and know God, fear Him. If I rolled out a map of heaven out here this morning, is there anybody in here that could point to the area of heaven set aside for the demons? No, you could not. Because there's not one. The path of my life was at times bad, at times good. The path of my life led me to marriage and a career and eventually children. This path was also the path leading me to away from me. I never knew you. It was in this moment, my heart was broken. It was in this moment that my sin weighed the heaviest upon me. And it was in this moment that I met Jesus. Baptized, December 23rd, 2007. Lucy was born May 1st, 2008. I was this close to not being a Christian, Father. Leading children at church came soon after. Leading adult classes soon after. Leading that men's group soon after. Africa, my calling into ministry. Our move to Louisville and our arrival at Cache Creek, all these things flowed out of meeting Jesus in the book of James. And it was by the grace of God and His hand in my life that I was even there. For 24 years, I was Saul among Sauls. And at times I could hide it well. And then God's Spirit took me another way. That's my story, the short version, with all the details that my children want to know omitted. I can tell you some of those one day. That's my story. What's yours? We all have a story. We all have a Jesus encounter. Who needs to hear it? No one will ever question the faith of Paul or the willingness for him to serve because they've met Paul. They've heard from Paul. They know his story and they've seen him serve. Can the world say the same thing about us? About you? Let's close with this. Where are you today in your walk? Saul or Paul? Well, Pastor, that's too black and white. I know Jesus, but I know Paul. I understand that. We're all somewhere in between. That's great. That's fantastic news. You've met the Creator of everything, and you have been made new. You're on a different path than you once were. No matter your struggles here, you're going to have them. Your eternity secure. No better place to be, and no better feeling than this. Now, who needs this from you? Not everyone has heard. Not everyone has believed. Not everyone knows what it means to know Jesus. Will they hear it from you? Will they hear what it means to you? If you need faith in your life, then believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. You'll have this faith. Need courage in your life to share this faith? Have someone on your heart right now who needs to hear from you. You know what they go through and you know what they need. You need the courage to reach out to them today. Need the courage to tackle some sin issue in your life right now, weighing you down. Whatever it is, your Father in heaven, first and foremost, knows already. So why not bring it to Him? Bring it to Him as we sing. Will we be witnesses today? That's the question that only you can answer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for your holy word. We thank you that we can open this book and we can see Paul's life on the pages. We can see who he was before Jesus. And we can see who he became after Jesus. We thank you so much for this guide. Help us lean into this guide. Help us first straighten our own path by your strength and your spirit and your will. And then help us reach out to others today. Where do you need us, Father? Send us there today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.